At this time, I'd like to invite Brother Amado up. He's going to share a little bit. Then we're going to invite all the men that went to man camp. All the men that went to man camp, also start making your way to the front.
All right, fellas, make your way up. If you guys went to man camp, come on up. All right, my name is Amado Rodriguez. I'm Pastor Mike's brother, the better looking one. At least that's what my family tells me. Well, come on up, Matt. This kid's not shy. All of a sudden, he's shy, right? All right, so thank you guys for all your support. I know you ladies probably had a great time. I left to man camp. My wife took off to L.A. with the kids. And I go, what? She said, do that more often. She asked me to. But anyhow, just want to share real briefly. A few months ago when we were putting this together, you know, it just God prompts you to do things. And, I just thought, all right, let's just do this. And I couldn't imagine all the fellows that went up. And just God does great things, amazing things. And, you know, I'm not going to take too much time because I want to let these brothers share a little bit. But personally, for me, you know, it's getting to know some of the brothers a little bit more, you know, at a different level. When you're up in the mountains, it's different. You know, your phone doesn't work. You know, you tend to pass by. You know, it's interesting because when you're up there in an atmosphere where we're going up there for a retreat, every single person that you pass along wants to say hi to you, wants to pray for you, wants to just, and it's just, it's lost out in this area, right? And it's just different where, you know, everybody's welcoming. Everybody wants to, you know, to love on you. But I got to know some of these brothers personally and some of them who snore and don't, that kind of stuff. Just kidding. None of them snore, by the way. None of them snore. But I will open up the mic for some of these brothers that want to come up and share. Don't be shy and also encourage them. Thank you. Tony.
Hello. This year when this was my first time going to man camp, and I enjoyed it immensely. I felt the love, like Brother Mata was saying, that every time you meet somebody, all they do want to do is tell you, hey, how you go? How's it doing? How you doing? You know? And they introduce themselves, and they tell you God bless you and stuff like that. And they make you feel welcome. They make you feel loved. I'm a man that usually doesn't tell people that, especially, you know, men, that I love them, stuff like that, you know, as brothers. But this year, being there, it touched my heart, my soul so much that I felt the Holy Spirit there. I walked up to men that I didn't even know, and I told them that I love them. I just want to say that I'm going next year again. So.
Okay, everybody put your hands up. No, I'm just kidding. No. My name is Jesse Cervantes, for who doesn't know me. Hello. Man camp was amazing. It was my first time there. There was no snow until, like, we turned the corner. Snow everywhere. And, of course, I didn't bring anything ready for snow. So, but it was amazing. So, God is working. I mean, I thought it was going to be, like, just the guys, and I turn around, there's like 500 men there. So it was awesome. I can't tell you the best thing about man camp. Man camp was amazing. There, everything from the food, from the worship was amazing. I mean, I was telling Mike my favorite song was Gratitude, and they played it twice, and just listening to all the men just get so involved, and it was just so moving. So that really moved me. The word was fantastic. I think one of the best things was the laughter, just laughing with my brothers, the fellowship, zip line, all the events. We zip lined. I mean, listening to my brother Henry scream like a girl was amazing. I'm kidding. He took it like a champ. It was a champ. Axe throwing, you name it. So where's John? John, there he is. Next year you're going, buddy. You have to. Okay? It was so amazing. I think the worst thing was probably the little mats, the mats that you had to sleep on. Hey, if Jesus didn't sleep on a team perpetic, I can't do. So that was amazing. Yeah, everything was great. So if you haven't gone or if you're on the fence about going, let me know. We will go. That's me.
That's me.
Let's see. So it was great. I think I went, I always butcher this. My favorite scripture is Ephesians 3:20. Are you again? Really? Who's on the mic? Is that Mike over there?
I knew it.
My favorite scripture is Ephesians 3:20. Now all the glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever imagine or ask or think. Okay? And that basically, it's just throw your trust in God and he will work everything out. I mean, my testimony, how much time do we have? I'm so sorry. There was something that Val and I were waiting, for like 3 years, probably longer than 3 years, that there was something that was just heavy on our hearts, and I was like, it was always in the back of our mind. And I got that email on Thursday, and I wound up reading it when I was up there, and God is great. God is so, so good. And it was just, he just picked the perfect time. And of course, we have no cell service, so I can't share it with Val. And you should have saw me. I asked the boys. They were going, and I was looking for cell, just anywhere, so I could send my wife this message saying, hey, guess what? This thing went through. So, it was great. I got to know the guys. Nico, I spent the day with Nico. Andrew, I think one of my favorite is everybody's testimony. Opening up and knowing these guys on a deeper level was fantastic. We've gone to little, men's barbecues and things like that. But Andrew's amazing. Each one of these guys, if they ever need anything, they're in my heart. I love you, all of you guys. You guys are amazing. And that's it. I'll let somebody else talk. I'll be up here for another 20 minutes. Okay? They're all, service is over, Jess. Service is over.
Who gave that guy the mic? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm just going to honestly say it was just a blessed time. All I'm going to say is that I'm sorry to my daughter and my wife because I had to come down early the night before so I could set up the next morning for church. I ruined their slumber party. But I can honestly say, Brother Amala, I want to thank you. Thank you for answering the call to set this whole thing up for Man Camp. From the time we turned that corner where the snow started, I already knew something great was going to happen. Oh, yeah, that's a good picture. I can tell you something great was going to happen, and God did not disappoint all the way through. And then as we were leaving, we heard the booger song. Andrew, you don't have to announce it. But I will say this. God's word amongst men is alive. And I could tell you when we came down, Pastor Michael or Brother Amala said something about a glow. I just haven't been. Little things, I'm able to let go a lot better since I came down. And I, too, got some great news that I had been waiting for, looking for. The minute I got down, it was actually that same Monday from that. So, praise God. God is good. I'm not going to take the mic because I talk enough.
Mike, can you go back to that picture? All right, my name is Enrique Felipe, for those of you who don't know me. So, little backstory to this. Yeah, everybody's talking about how great Man Camp was, but you know what? Jesse and I, we had to console each other because we had a moment of weakness where we missed our wives so much, so much. And I wish they could Zoom because if you see, we had the head. We were sad. We missed our wives so much, but Pastor Mike, he smacked us, he had to smack us around a little bit and say, hey, come on, enjoy what's here. for real, you guys, we had a great time. It was amazing. I'm a veteran to Man Camp. I've been going, for quite a few years. And I realized the last time I was there was 7 years ago. And it was a little touching because it was... I took my brother-in-law, who's no longer with us, and I got to take his son with us, and it was amazing. He got to experience something that my brother-in-law got to enjoy and experience. And he had never been to do something like that, my brother-in-law. And he had struggled in his life so much and been through just really hard times. And so I got to just really take joy that I got to bring my nephew and just allow him and to experience what his dad got to experience. And just, and I know he couldn't be here today because he's a part of a ministry at another church. And I know he really wanted to, but that was, you know, for me, that was huge, being able to bring that next generation and invite them. And, you know, I took Nico, who's like a son to me. Nico's been a part of our lives since he was 9. And so I tried to get both my sons. Next year, our goal is to bring his brothers, my sons, a few more guys. I mean, there's typically not this many guys in church. So we're hoping to double it, maybe even triple it, right? Amado, in past years, all right, one time we had 60-some guys, right? So out of small churches, you guys, when we start inviting and we start including and we have things like this, a small church like this can take a huge number. I mean, there was a North Point church was there, and they probably took 40, 50 guys. But they're a mega church, you guys. So don't ever discount us as a small church, the power of what we could do just by inviting and sharing. So, you know, Man Camp was amazing. Again, every one of us was amazing, right? We had a great time. Man Camp is always, always a blessing. And if you go up there with an open heart and an open mind, you're going to be changed. You're going to be transformed. Like Stephen says, there's things that you can leave there. You can lay it down. You give it to God, and he's going to make the transformation. So I love Man Camp. You know, and anybody who's, you know, if you're a man or you're, whoever, tell your cousins, your uncles, your brothers, invite them and have them talk to one of us, because we'll get them. We'll get them. We'll get them, and God will get them. So thank you, guys.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Nico. I know maybe like 99% of you might not know me. I've been here like twice. Sorry. But it was my first year at Man Camp, and it was really good. And like everyone said that spoke before me, if you guys haven't went, highly recommend it. And yeah, I mean, everything was really great. As I mean, you see me, you know, I like the food. The food was good. yeah, I'm sorry, I wasn't really prepared to speak. He texted me about this, and I didn't read the text good enough, or else I would have made it be prepared something for you guys. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't gone, I highly recommend it.
Good morning. So, a lot of people probably look at me, they probably think, you know, probably not going to go. Well, I actually went when I was way younger. This is my second time going. I first went 7 years ago when I was 6. So, I have some pictures. Yeah, you can come up to me, you guys can see how cute I was. I know. Thank you. I still am, you know. You don't have to ask the picture. You don't have to ask for the pictures. I'm right here. You know, but it was awesome. The fellowship up there is so, it's just so infectious. When you're in, like, the free time and everything, when you're just hanging around with a bunch of guys and men and stuff, it's just like one of those big videos of why women live longer than men. Yeah. Yeah, you know, going down zip line, me and my friends helped a 75-year-old man down the zip line. It was awesome to see. Doug Beard, that was his name. And he said, we're his little mini Dougs. So you guys can call me Doug now. Yeah, and then even just the serious moments during breakout rooms when even somebody from a brother from a different church from North Point, I was sharing, and he told me, he looked at me in my eyes, just told me, you're not alone in those struggles. Because even, and this doesn't just go for men too, even men and women, brothers and sisters, you guys go through a lot of the same struggles, and sometimes it doesn't seem like, it seems like you're alone in those different situations, but just know you aren't. And it feels this, just a pure feeling. When you get to feel vulnerable with people around you, feeling vulnerable with my brothers around me, and breakout rooms or wherever just felt. So it's just an infectious, amazing feeling. Thank you.
Hello. I had a good time up there. My first time up there, too. And before I left, I probably like 20 minutes before we got there, I texted my wife. She's like, don't be texting me. You're up there for vacation. So, and then I came down early, too, because I missed her. You know, I'm not going to lie. I did. But I promised God when I came down to let go of all my anger because I'm always mad. So I promised him if I went up the big rock, I would come down more calmer and ready to listen. And, man, you need to climb a rock like that. It's amazing. Thank you, guys.
Hello, everybody. For those that don't know me, I go by the name of David. I just want to thank everybody here for accepting me, making me feel comfortable. Thank you, Amador, again, for putting everything together. For me, it was just learning the word, getting to know from every older man from here. you know, I'm not the loudest in the room, so I like to listen more than I talk. So I was just grateful to learn and hear them talk. So that's what I was there for, to commune with the word of God. Yeah.
All right. It's been a blessing. So what we're going to say right now is men, is thank you for being obedient to the call to go up to Man Camp. You know, it's amazing that what we learned up there is God called each and every one of us to lead our homes. God called each and every one of us to be leaders, not only in our homes, but in our workplace and in everyday life. All right. 17 men went up there needing to leave something at the cross or needing to work some things out. And they all came with that worked out. The Holy Spirit was that move. So I am going to say, let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, I just want to say thank you right now, Heavenly Father God. Thank you for what you did up at Heartland Christian Camp. Not for just our church, not for just these four walls, but for each and every church that was represented up there, Heavenly Father God. Each and every one of those men heard from you and received from you. It is said that the challenge wasn't up there, that it was easy up there when you're amongst believers. The challenge is when you get down the mountain, are you going to choose to be obedient still? And God, I pray over each and every one of these men, Heavenly Father God, that no matter what struggles they face, that they could turn to you first, Heavenly Father God. That they allow themselves, even if it means failing once or twice, because we know that that's going to humble them enough to reach out and seek you out, Heavenly Father God. That they are no longer alone on this journey. Be with each and every one of them, Heavenly Father God. Lord, as we continue on with our service, Heavenly Father, I pray over children's ministry that you be with the teachers of that, Heavenly Father God, and God, that you can continue to do your work in today's message. We love you, praise you. In Jesus' name we say, amen.
All right, praise God. There's a lot of other things that happened up there, but man laws are in effect, so can't tell you guys. Now we had a blessed time, honestly. Got a chance to spend some time with some brothers and get to know them and just fellowship and share, you know. It was really a blessed time. True story, there was, to my brother's point, there was a gentleman that first day we got up there, there's a lot of different walks, people of all different walks of life up there, different testimonies. And we first got there, and he's a gentleman that had a big goatee. He's wearing like a biker jacket, somebody that I probably wouldn't talk to just because my own. Like, listen, you have, whether you believe it or not, when somebody walks towards you, you're making a decision, right? What does this person want? What's going on with them? If I saw that brother in the street, I would think I better walk on the other side because he looked intimidating. He had a bit, again, the big goatee biker jacket on, and he walks up to me and he says, "Hey, brother, come here. I got something for you." And I was like, "Me?" Mike's a little hot. And I kind of like looked. I said, "Me?" He's like, "Yeah, brother, come here." He reaches into his biker vest, and then he pulls something out. And he's like, and it was a cough drop. And I was like, "Cough drop?" He's like, "No, that's not for you. That's for me." He put it back in, reaches back out, and then he pulls it out a little baby Jesus, a little Jesus, a little figure about this big. And I should have brought it. Actually, we have pictures of it. And he says, you know why? He says, because everybody needs a little Jesus in their life, right? It was so cool. It was like my first, the first person I talked to up there. And so we were talking to ourselves, we got to order some little Jesuses, you know? It's a great icebreaker. We kind of got to know him and his ministry, but really had a blessed time. I also want to thank, you know, there's brothers and sisters here in the room that helped, that donated, right? I'll be quite honest with you. Sometimes we've gone up there, and it's a big task to organize. But I'll tell you what, it probably was the easiest time that we've had. And we did have some people that stepped forward and say, hey, listen, we don't want finances to be a barrier. We want to send as many men as we can. And actually, we came down, and we owe money, right? My brother knows this. We'll go up there, and it's like we still owe like $1,500, whatever. But everything was, we were paid off. Everything was fine. So, you know, God is good. Amen? He's a God that provides. So next year, we're looking forward to send a few more brothers up the mountain, right? So if you know somebody, you know, make sure you invite them, plant the seed. Already, I think within the group, a lot of the guys says, hey, we're gonna bring a couple more guys. I know I'm going to bring my brother, I'll bring my cousin, my friend. So hey, keep inviting, because God does something special on the mountain. All right, my own testimony, and I share this with you guys, is right after I got saved, I had a one-on-one with God for about 2.5 days where he got me in a headlock, and I left a lot of junk up on the mountain, right? And I'll tell you, my wife will share. One day, Stephanie's going to give her testimony. It's going to be awesome. And ask her about the very first time I went to Man Camp. She'll tell you all about it. Amen? Another little teaser. Right? But if there's children, let's go ahead and dismiss them to the class. So let's go ahead and dismiss our kids to class. And my brother is going to be teaching today. So he's going to get them hopped up on sugar and then return them back to you after service is over. Amen? All right. Well, we are in week number 3 of our series, and the series that we're on is called Letting Go. Letting Go. And it has to do, and it aligns exactly with Lent, what we're in, the season that we're currently in, as we look forward to Resurrection Sunday. Week 1, we talked about how God came, and Jesus came to set us free from shallow religion. Right, from shallow religion, the religious things that we do oftentimes in these 40 days, the religious activities of I'm going to give up this and that other thing. And we talked about in the big scope of things, we want to focus our attention on things that are going to draw us closer to God in this season. Oftentimes it's we will do a something where we will not eat chocolate or not eat soda. And sure, I mean, if you're like, that is tough. But when we put it against what Jesus did for us on the cross, it doesn't seem like it's such of a sacrifice. Do you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, we're made for God. So God, right, wants us to spend time with him. It's about our devotion to God. And so as we are in this season, we said, let's not do the religious activities, but let's really inspect our hearts and see how we can draw closer to God in this season. And so that means pruning some things out of our lives. The last week, we covered how we respond, right? How God came to rewire us. And we learned how we do that from the message was from Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted, and how he responded, and how we responded with Scripture, and how we responded relationally to the Father. And so this week, you guys are... I've been waiting to wear this hoodie, honestly, for about 2 years. And every time I put it on, my wife's like, you can't wear that. That's too casual. You can't wear that. It's too casual. And I said, well, I'm going to wear it today. Because today's message is called Born Again, right? If there's ever a time to wear this hoodie, it's today. Amen? So I'm wearing it. So I was like, I'm going to wear my, you must be born again. So anyway, that's a true story. She knows that. Because... you know, your wife and your spouse, she's your helper, but she's also the one that says, don't wear that. Yeah. That doesn't look good. It doesn't match. Go back into it. So I'm coming out all cool. Nope, go back. It's too casual. It's happened to me about 3 times, so I'm wearing the hoodie today. One day, I'm going to wear it. And today is the day, amen? But we're going to be reading out of John chapter 3, as we're going to spend a lot of time. But before we begin, I had, let me get this over here. You guys see this right here? This is a cold Pepsi, okay? I want you guys to, so you guys hear my witness. No, don't drink it. I just want you to know that it's a cold Pepsi, right? So what would happen if I start doing this to it? I could hear, what would happen if I come over here to this side of the room? What's going to happen? Now I'm shaking it up. What's happening inside it? What's happening? What do you guys think? Stirring up, huh? If I stand right here, and I slowly take the tab, and I start to pull it back really slowly, what would happen? Right? Or should I do it over here to my wife? What do you guys think? I better not. Yeah, I don't want to sleep on the couch. My back, it's bad for my back. I'm not going to open it, right? But you guys know what would happen. You guys have seen this happen. You either drop it, you open it, and then, right? Or you make the mistake of leaving it in your car. Have you ever done that? Like a 12-pack in your car, and then it's like, blows up. I've had that. Or in the freezer, right? The pressure builds up that it overflows and it gushes out, right? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to keep this. I have to put this somewhere where someone won't open it for a while. But I just wanted to use that as an analogy, right? Kind of like a metaphor, right? Of what happens when something is overflowing. There's an abundance. The pressure's building up. Now, I also kind of talk, you know, the other analogy or metaphor that I draw into is like, man, remember the first time that when you really fell in love? You know what I'm talking about? When you can't stop talking about that person? When you can't stop, like, thinking about that person? When you're on the phone and you're asleep, and you're like, you fall asleep first. No, you hang up first. I love you more, right? Remember that? How silly that... You hang up first, right? You hang up first. And then everybody's like, you do that game, right? But, or the first time, right, parents in the room, where you held your child, when you held your baby, right, and then you see them, not now, because now they're stinky, like if they're old, but like when they were a baby, I'm kidding, even now as an adult, right, I still grab my kids and I'm like, come here, you know, you want to love on them, like, get off me, dad. They're too cool. I just did that to Ethan yesterday. I'm like, give me a hug. And he's like, and then I start to kiss him on the cheek. And then he's fronting, because then he starts to smile. You know, he's sneaky. I know you like it, right? But it's that feeling. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know the feeling when you have that baby, even if they're big and they're fighting you, of how much you love that person? It's an overflow. It's an overflow in abundance, right? And so what we're going to learn about today is, obviously, the message is called, You Must Be Born Again. But we're going to talk about why we must be born again. And we're also going to talk about what is the underlying reason that we have the gift and the opportunity to be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Because you guys all know that if we're looking at John chapter 3, we're going to be looking at John 3:16, right? Which says what? That God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes will not perish, but will have everlasting life. An abundance and an overflow of love that causes to action. That makes sense? So maybe I'll drink this later. But for now, I know. That's right. But for now, let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 3. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 17. And some of you guys are very familiar with this passage, but we're going to read it, and then we're going to spend some time talking about what is happening in this passage. You guys there? John 3, chapter 1 says, Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus replied, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time in their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. It is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But you, people, do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Amen? We'll pause there. Pause there. So what's the context of the passage? You guys always hear me. I like to ask you guys, there's usually, when the scriptures are written, there's a time and a place and an audience. So what's happening in this passage? Anybody want to help me out? You don't have to. I know, because I'm going to share it with you guys, but all right. You guys are being shy. What's happening in this passage is somebody comes to see Jesus, and he comes to him at night, which is kind of surprising, right? You think it's kind of surprising? This is a conversation that is recorded, and it's a conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, right? Now, it tells us a little bit in that very first couple of verses that he was a member of the Jewish council. Now, when we look into who Nicodemus was, he was actually a Pharisee. You guys remember that, those guys? Right? They were the religious leaders back then. Nicodemus is also a member of the Sanhedrin. Do you guys know what the Sanhedrin is? If you guys remember, we're going to learn more about it as we're getting into Jesus' last days. That is the council that is also not only the religious leaders of the Jewish people, but they're also like the legal rulers of the Jewish people. Make sense? There was a total of 71 members in that council, just so you guys know. Right? So you guys like. So he's talking to somebody who is clearly very religious, somebody who is respected, somebody that has a lot of influence. That makes sense? And it's important that we understand that. Imagine if it's almost like the equivalent of like, if somebody came here and they were like a very important figure in Congress, for example, for us, right? And that's just government. But in that time, they had dual roles, right? There was no separation of church and state. It was all one body, which was governed by the Sanhedrin and the high priest. So this person knows his stuff, right? I've told you guys before, there's about 4 million or anywhere between, I think it's about 5 million members or people, Jewish people at the time. Let me just say that. 5 million. There's only 6,000 Pharisees, right? Think about that. 6,000 Pharisees. Meaning those are the legal experts. To become a Pharisee, you have to have memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament. That's a lot, right? So you could tell that they knew the word, they knew the law, and they also had a position. Well, what's interesting is that Jesus then starts to school him, right, about what it takes to get into the kingdom of God. And that's an interesting proposition. Now, he comes and he says clearly, right, you're from God, because who else will be performing the signs and miracles that you're doing? He says, but then he tells them, right, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Which is an interesting dynamic and question. Now Nicodemus answers and he says, How am I going to be, right? It's almost like a crass response that Nicodemus has. He's like, what do you mean born again? Am I going to crawl into, a man is going to crawl into his mother's womb to be born again? And Jesus kind of tells him, he's like, man, you know better than that, right? It's assumed that because he knows of the first five books that he's talking about something else. And Jesus tells us very plainly, right, for us today, it's true for the religious leaders that it is true today. The number one, to see the kingdom of God, we must be born again. To see the kingdom of God, we must be born again. And that's the first point in today's message. Now, why does Jesus make that distinction? Right? Because, I'll be honest with you, everybody in here, I always say this, and I say this, like, the Jewish people were very religious, Hispanic people were very religious, there's a lot of things about very religious, right? Everybody that you know, whether they believe it or not, is religious. They are. We practice a different thing. People worship differently. Some people worship sports. You guys know some very religious sports fanatics? They don't miss a game, they know every stat to every player on that team. They worship those players, don't they? And oftentimes you always think about religion having to be about a thing about God or no, we have idols, right, that we worship religiously. Some people don't miss, like, you know, church attendance when the NFL season starts up. People will start missing church because they have to worship at the altar of the Raiders or the Cowboys. Or they record it, you know. Thank you, sister. That's true. We always record the games. Or people, you know, I can't because I have to do this. I can't because I have to do that. We worship different things. Even people who say they don't believe in God are worshiping something. We worship science. I only believe in science. Right? You don't like me because I only believe in science. That's a skeletal. That's a Nacho Libre reference. You didn't catch that. Because what do, right? Human beings, in our nature, we worship different things. Or we tell ourselves that we don't need a God. On the flip side of that, like the religious leaders, they say, I do all these things. And it becomes very much about how much you work. You've heard me say this before. Rihanna made a song about it. About how much you work, 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 work. But God is not impressed, right? He's not impressed with the Rihanna song, and he's not impressed with your work, right? He's not impressed with your work. But we're very religious. It's all about the things that I do. I'm a good person. The religious person says, I memorize all these things. I'm a Pharisee. This is why let me bring it back to the scripture. Nicodemus was a person, right? He had the right background, was from the right group. He was a Jew, right? And what's challenging to him is that he was saying, and one of the customs and one of the beliefs at the time was that if you were a Jewish and you had the covenant of God, the Abrahamic covenant, right? You had the promised land. It was your God. You're in already because you're Jewish, because of your descendant, because of your lineage from. And Jesus is saying, it's not that. He's challenging Nicodemus to say, listen, all of your religious activity and your lineage and your family is not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine being Nicodemus, a person who has memorized all five? You're telling, like if I said, hey, you remember, if you quote all five books of the Old Testament, and Jesus said, it's not enough. You'd be like, what the heck? Right? You know how long it took me to memorize this, Jesus? And all I'm saying is Jesus is not impressed with your religion. He's not impressed with how much you know. He's not impressed with what you do. Are you guys picking up the theme? And he's saying none of that stuff is going to save you. In fact, you won't even see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And he challenges him and says, born again of the flesh? Nicodemus says, born again of the flesh? And Jesus says, no. Born again of the Spirit. And what's interesting, and when you go back and you look and you study this,
What's really awesome about this, why does he say born again? He already says and distinguishes, listen, we all know that he was born physically, right? He's there. But Jesus is so awesome. Isn't he awesome? Amen, he's awesome. Because he tells them, you have to be born again. And when the Spirit, if you read it and you go back and you look at the Greek and the Hebrew, it's a Greek word. Any of you guys have been diagnosed with with pneumonia? Anybody here? Yeah, you have, right? That first portion of that word, right, pneuma, is a Greek word. It's also a Hebrew word, which stands for what? What do you guys think it stands for? Oh, air. It also stands for spirit. And so what's interesting that Jesus draws a parallel. He says, you must be born again. And he's making reference to a specific. You guys should know this, right? In creation, what did God do? He made man out of mud and dirt. You guys remember that? And then he breathed life into him. And so he's referencing the first time that we were born. He's talking about creation. But the second time, he's saying, now you must be born of the Spirit. And that means that you have to be born again. Which, here's the gift that Jesus gives us. Every one of us in here should be thankful, right? That we're not saved by works. That we're not saved by where we came from. That we're not saved from what family we came from, what background you come from. You're not saved by any of that stuff, your possession. You're saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And it is a free gift. And it is from God only. And you know why it's so mysterious? We're talking about regeneration, right? This is why it's mysterious. It's like, because I remember first giving my life to the Lord and being excited about it and telling my friends all about it. And they're like, and so they started saying like, wait a minute, you, and they said it two ways. One of them was like, I can't believe it. You're doing so well. Why do you need that crutch in your life? And I said, that's kind of a fighting words, but that's another time, right? One of them tells me, oh, okay. So, wait, you're telling me that you're born again? And I said, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Right? He was doing it again to tease me. They weren't like, oh, that's awesome, praise God. They were both kind of it was almost like a put down. He said, you're telling me that you're born again? I said, yeah. Because when you're in the flesh, you don't understand it. In fact, regeneration and being born again is of the Spirit. And when God gets a hold of you, doesn't he get a hold of you? And isn't it awesome? And people will not understand it. You know what they will understand? What does Jesus say? You'll know them by their fruits, right? And then God comes to change your heart and change your proclivities. And then what he has done here is seen visible by everybody else. So there is mystery behind it, right? Because you can't see it. The regeneration is from God, and it is a true gift from God. And it has to be that way. Why? Because we're people. And if we could, right, wouldn't we work and do everything we could, right, by our own means? But Jesus says, again, to somebody like Nicodemus, who I don't care how hard we work, none of us is going to be as religious as Nicodemus. Amen? None of us is going to be in that religious position as Nicodemus was. None of us is going to be ruling and being like this religious leader and government political leader like he was. And Jesus tells him, again, I'm not impressed with that. You have to be born again. And he lowers the standard, but he says, it comes from God. It's a free gift from God. So the fact that you know a lot of people that say, I'm a good person. I go to church. I go to Bible studies. None of those things save you. It doesn't. Now, as we give our life to Christ, we have an affinity. I want to be in church. I want to be in prayer. I want to be spending time in fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I want to be in a 10 by 10 or 15 by 15 foot cabin with a bunch of other smelly men enjoying the fellowship of the believers. Amen? That is that is not of the flesh. That is of the Spirit. to want to have that desire, you know? But it's not enough. Your giving is not enough. Your tithing is not enough. God isn't impressed by what you drive. He's not impressed by your job. He's not impressed by your bank account. He's not. You just have to be born again, right? He already loves you enough. You know, that's really freeing, because don't we spend so much of our time and so much of our life looking for affirmation and for acceptance by our works? Don't we grow up, and don't we, even as, and I'm going to go back and, you know, I'm not trying to go into some soul wounds for us, but a lot of times, if we're honest, right? Our parents did the best that they could. They did the best that they could. And if we're honest, we'll know that sometimes they make mistakes. And parents in the room, if you're honest, you have to admit, you make mistakes too. Right? We did the best that we could. There's not a manual. It's like, you can read the what to expect when you're expecting. But when that baby comes, that's not what you were expecting. Right? It's something else. Amen? We did the best that we could. You know, I've shared my testimony with you guys. I had this thing against my dad, because my dad is the kind of dad that never told me that he loved me. The first time that he gave me a hug was I was in junior high. I was graduating from eighth grade, and it was so awkward when he gave me a hug. I was like, "What are you doing, dude? Like, this is awkward. We don't hug." Like. And it wasn't until God came and transformed my heart, right, and started working some stuff, and started healing and repairing. And one day, you know, it's funny, a lot of ministry can be done over a barbecue grill. And we were barbecuing, and God was working. And it was a God moment for myself and for my brother. And my dad said, "Hey, come here, I want to talk to you guys." It was one of those, like, my dad, if you guys know him, he's awesome. He's still my hero to this day, but he's the kind of guy where he's also like, when you see him heart, he's like, "Dad, how are you doing?" He's like, "You know, just waiting to die." You know, very dramatic. You know, some people like that. You guys know that? I love him, right? But he can also be very, we all have a flavor for dramatic. Yes, amen? We all, right? You know, this is alien. That's where I'm just ready to die, you know? And we had a God moment. I'll tell you what, over that barbecue grill. And we started talking. And I told him, I said, "You know what, Dad? I said, for a long time I struggled, because when I was a kid, you never told me that you loved me. You never told me that you were proud of me. And, you know, and I struggled with that." And he looked at me straight in the eyes, and it was sincere. And, you know, he told me, "If I ever failed you as a dad in that regard, I just want you to know that I'm sorry. But I'm so proud of you, and I love you." Right? It was a moment that transformed my relationship with him. That single conversation. Then he did something that kind of surprised me too. He said, "But I just want you to take a look, right?" And he said, "I did the best that I could. And let me tell you why." And then he proceeded to tell me. And he said, "In my whole life, I never got a single positive affirmation from my dad. I never got a hug from him. He never told me he was proud of me. He never told me he loved me. My whole life, I was only taught to work. And the only thing that I received from my fathers was discipline. And that's all that I know." And it broke my heart, man. It broke my heart. Because I had never taken the time to ask him, "Dad, why are you this way?" Until he told me, and he says, "You know what? I did the best that I could. And I love you, and I'm proud of you." Now it set me free from a lot of bondages, a lot of anger that I had, right? Now how does that apply to this message? You need to know that you're loved by God. That he loves you as you are. A lot of times we're seeking affirmation from mom or seeking affirmation from dad. And yes, we're going to have to work some of those things out. Amen? There'll be a God moment for you when we trust in Jesus Christ, right? The Holy Spirit will prompt and guide it. For me, it happened over a barbecue grill. Right? But it was a God moment where He showed me that I was holding on to some stuff that I shouldn't have been holding on to. And then God came in and started to repair and restore that relationship. Like, you guys need to know, it's amazing what God will do and restore. All to say this, we can know that we're loved by the Father. We can know that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And that our identity is in who He says that we are. Not in our works or acts or anything that they do. How do we know this? Parents, you know your kids screw up, right? Or if you have parents, you know you screw up. And when they see you, do they hold that stuff? No. They love you. Like, I love my kids no matter how much, like, they drive me crazy. I love them through and through, thick and thin. I love them. That's how the Father loves you. We need to understand that. It's not through works, but it's through the Spirit. Now, what Jesus says then is He says, how can you be born again? Not of the flesh, the way that Nicodemus says, right? But He tells us, and He responds, we're born again by believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're born again by believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the second point. And that's in verse 15. And He says that everyone who believes may have eternal life. Amen. Everyone who believes will have eternal life. That is how we're born again, through the Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. It's not through your own goodness, right? You know, when I first came to Christ, I was upset because it took me a long time. And I said, why did I have to go through all that like mess in my life? You know, why couldn't I have been saved when I was 18? It would have been a lot easier, you know? But God had a different plan for me, a different God appointment for me. And it was the Spirit that prompted me then to accept Jesus Christ in response to the gospel. Make sense? And Jesus does something awesome. Again, man, Jesus is awesome, amen? Every time you read the Bible, you should be, Jesus, you're so awesome. I love, because I envision, like, I could see Him. I always love when He's talking to the Pharisees. And you guys have heard me say this before. When He reads it, and I was like, oh, burn, Jesus, that was so good. You got Him. Right? But what is He telling them? Again, the person who He's speaking to happens to know all five first books of the Old Testament, right? And Jesus makes an interesting reference. What's the reference He's making to? If we look at verse, we read it again. And let's pick that up. In verse 13, it says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man, just as Moses lifted up the Son of Man, right? And then period. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. Now, it's always interesting. You go through, you might pass that through, but it's important to go back and say, what was Jesus talking about? And so we're going to do that. Because Jesus is making a reference to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse 4, where it says, they traveled from Mount Hor to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Drama. There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned and spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. And then everyone that was bitten by a snake looked at the bronze snake. They lived. Right? He's making reference to what happened in the book of Numbers. That they were getting bitten by snakes and they were dying. Just like our life without Jesus. Trying to do it on your own. Getting snake bitten left and right. Sound familiar? Death, right? And then Jesus makes reference that just as the bronze snake was lifted up, so must the Son of Man must be lifted up, right? That anybody that looks upon him and puts their faith in him will be saved. He must be born again. Amen? And I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to give you guys the last point. Jesus is giving reference to the crucifixion. The Son of Man must be lifted up. And it wasn't just enough that he was lifted up, right? Jesus also was glorified, right? Because he was resurrected and ascended to be with the Father. And so the third point, the last one, which is... Sorry, my pages are all messed up right here. Is Jesus came to save the world, not condemn it. John 3:17. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes will have everlasting life, right, and shall not perish. Because he didn't come to condemn the world, he came to save it. And it's very easy to condemn people, yeah? We do it. Be honest. God is asking us not to be the condemners. He's asking us to preach the message of hope and goodness and to give witness and testimony to what he's doing. And listen, God would have been justified to condemn the whole world, to be honest with you, but he didn't do that. Instead, he sent his Son to die on the cross that we might have a way to be born again and to be saved. Now, I told you earlier, as human beings, we have a tendency to become very religious really quickly. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about people that live in our communities that we don't agree with their lifestyle. We don't agree with what they do. We don't agree with their Facebook postings. We don't agree with their political affiliation. We don't agree with what kind of car they drive. We don't agree with a lot of the things that they live their life. And I'm here to tell you what. It's not our job to be in the business of condemning people. It's our job to be what? To love God and to love people. Because God would have been justified to condemn every single one of us, but he says, no, I loved you enough to send my Son. Like I love that person, the person that you don't like, that they have a different affiliation, different things. But God, you need my help. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to judge them for you. God doesn't need your help. He's God. He owns the universe, guys. So what? Get busy loving God and loving people, man. I'm not saying that we're going to rubber stamp these things. But I'm just being honest. We get so caught up. We get so religious really quickly, don't we? Because Nicodemus would have been somebody to already start condemning. You know how they were? You read the book. Those people, right? Every one of us has those people. You have somebody. Stop it. God loves you and he loves them. God loves you and he loves them. We're like, no, God only loves me. He's only for me, my precious. My precious. It's my God only. And that person needs to go to hell, God. But me and you, we're good. We're tight. That's not what I'm seeing in John 3:17. I came to save and seek what was lost and we made them whole because he loves them, because he loves us. He loves you. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for the gift of salvation, Lord God. Thank you that you didn't come to condemn us, Lord God, but you sent your Son to die on the cross, a horrific death, Lord God, so that we might know you, And we might be forgiven from our sins, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, that we're not those things anymore. But Father, continue to work in our hearts, because it's so easy for us to become religious. It's so easy for us to want to condemn and to do your work. Lord God, we're called to do the opposite. So Father God, continue to work in our hearts, even for those of us that are believers, Lord God. But Father God, you came to seek what was lost. And so this morning, if there's somebody here that has been feeling the prompting of the Holy Spirit and not quite sure whether you're where you stand, where you will enter into the kingdom, the way that Jesus said, we're going to give you an opportunity. It's very simple, because it's not us that saves. It's the Holy Spirit that prompts and saves. If there's somebody here that's not quite sure, that doesn't know, that hasn't committed to life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to follow along in this prayer, or to pray it in the quietness of your home. It's very simple. It goes like this. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are the Son of the true God. I believe that you came for the forgiveness of my sins, and I believe that you died on the cross that I might be forgiven, that I might be restored in right relationship to the Father. Help me to live for you this day forward, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and relationship with you and the Holy Trinity. Thank you, Lord God, for the gift of regeneration. Thank you, Lord God, for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the invitation to be born again, Lord God, that we might see the kingdom of God, not only when we go to meet you, Lord God, but also, Lord Jesus, today, now, here, Lord God. You invite us, Lord God, to bring your kingdom down. You invite us to do your good works, Lord God. We're connected to you. So if that was you this morning and you prayed this prayer, you want to raise your hand, we want to come alongside you, encourage you, pray for you, and build up your walk. Amen. For the rest of us, Lord Jesus, continue to draw us near to you, Lord God. Continue to work, Lord God, and I always feel like every morning we need a heart transplant, Lord God. Because the flesh wants what it wants, but you want us to be living in the Spirit, Lord God, and that it only happens by being connected with you. So, Lord, will you continue to guide us, continue to strengthen our walk, Lord. Watch over our families, Lord. And, Lord, I ask, Lord God, in earnest, that you protect every brother that is here and every family that was represented by the brothers that came up today, Lord God. As we stand in the gap and want to do more for you, Lord God, we know the enemy is going to be upset, but he is defeated, Lord God. At your name, he has to flee. Lord God, when we give our lives to you and we worship you and we know you and we seek you out, your word tells us that you are faithful to keep your promises, and the blessings extend from generation to generation because you are awesome and you are good. So, Lord God, that is our prayer for our family, Lord God. That's a prayer for our church this morning. Continue to guide us, continue to be with us and strengthen us, Lord God. Help us to seek you out with all of our hearts and all that we do, Lord. Thank you again for your grace, your goodness, and your mercy. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.